Today I'm going to talk about a smartphone app for scheduling irrigation on cotton that we developed over the past 2 years, and 2014 was the first year that it was actually in public use. So I have some metrics from that, but I also want to show you some data of how the app performed on some plot trials that we did. This is a multi-institution, multi-disciplinary project. We have a team of scientists from several universities that are participating, and funding from a number of organizations, you can see. I put up my website here to show you that if you want further information about this project, you can go to valitas.org, and there are links to this particular project. This project's website is called smartirrigationapps.org, and you can see that the app I'm describing, the cotton app, is one of a suite of apps that we developed with this team. They include citrus, urban lawn, strawberry, and now some vegetable apps, avocado apps, and so on. Anyway, these apps are all available both on Android and iOS platforms, and and you can download them with these links or go to those stores. So the goals of all these apps, and specifically for the cotton app, was really to make something that was user-friendly, easy to use, and would allow producers to make better irrigation scheduling decisions. So we weren't trying to make something that was super sophisticated in terms of, you know, using scheduling algorithms that were very fancy. Basically, we're trying to use a simple, straightforward approach and create a tool that would allow producers to easily use this information. And so we selected a very simple algorithm to run the scheduling app. Basically, we're doing a soil water balance approach, similar to what FAO 56 does. We're using evapotranspiration, crop evapotranspiration, as the means of extracting water from the soil profile, and we're adding rain and irrigation water as appropriate. We've selected a 50% soil plant soil available water deficit as our threshold for sending the users a recommendation that it's time to irrigate. So that gives them plenty of buffer to postpone irrigation for a day or two if necessary. The foundation, of course, for ET-based scheduling is to have meteorological data. And so in this case, we're using estimated crop ET, a crop coefficient, and Penman-Monteith reference evapotranspiration for our calculations. As I'll show you in a moment, these data are based on Mesonet weather stations. This is an example of our crop coefficient curve that we developed. As you can see, on the bottom axis, we're using accumulated heat units rather than days after planting for making our changes in KC. And we think this is very important and is one of the advantages of the model we've selected, because if you can compare 2 years like we've had in the recent past, 2013 was a wet, overcast, cool year versus 2014, which was a typical dry, hot summer. The days after planting would have stayed the same, but the accumulated heat units would have differed vastly between those days after planting. So anyway, you can see here where we have our transitions in different rates of KC. Our max KC is at 1.1, and that period lasts for about 30 days or about 500 accumulated heat units. So this crop coefficient curve is programmed into the app. I want to take just a couple of minutes now to show you, some screenshots from the app and how it works, and then I'll start showing you the data from the trials. So when you first engage the app, it wants you to register your field. And so you see on the picture on the left here, you have a number of options of how to do that. First is that the phone uses your GPS locator and puts a push pin at your current location. If this is where your field is, that's great. If not, you can just drag that push pin and drop it wherever you want. Then you enter information, for example, the name of the field, planting date, and then the app does some stuff on its own. One of the things we try to do is develop this app so people could use it for conventional fields, but also use it for precision irrigation applications. So, for example, if you were interested in running the app for different management zones within your field, you would register those zones as individual fields, And so you would get recommendations for each of the zones in your field. So here's where the MesoNet data come in. The app uses the coordinates of the field to select the closest weather station to the field. So for example, here's a location. The field is located near Tifton, Georgia. The closest weather station is this Tift-Bowen weather station, which is 15 miles away. It gives you the options of the four other weather stations that are nearby. So if you don't like that particular station, if you know it has problems, if you know it's down, you can select something else. And right now the app is set up to use two MesoNets, the one that the University of Georgia runs in the state of Georgia with 83 weather stations, and the MesoNet that the University of Florida runs in Florida with 38 stations. So that's the footprint of the app at the moment. We are talking about diversifying and increasing its footprint, and I'll talk about that towards the end. Another user option here is to select the soil types. You can see we have some very generic soil types, so the user can select what they perceive as important. Unfortunately, this is a very important part of the app, and so it's important for the user to select the correct soil type because this controls the soil water balance, essentially. So, you know, obviously if you have a sandy soil, you have less available soil moisture holding capacity. If you have a clay soil, you have more. Some other model variables that are important is the rooting depth. So we have, this is fixed. We have chosen to begin with a minimum of a 6-inch rooting depth at the beginning of the growing season and to increase it by 0.3 inches per day to a maximum of 30 inches. And this is somewhat arbitrary based on data that we've collected through the literature, but also our experience in trying to calibrate the model the first couple of years before we released it. So that seemed to work the best for us. We also have some irrigation effectiveness parameters installed in the app. For example, if you're irrigating with a pivot, we assume that 80% of the water that you apply is going to make it into the soil profile. And we also ask the user to select a default irrigation depth, and that's because when the user says, I have irrigated, the app automatically adds that much water to the algorithm, but the user can change that. I'll show you how that's changed in a moment as well. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of, you know, the background calculations, but I want to bring your attention to the red square here, because these are the two variables that the user sees. Essentially, we use all the KC and the rain and all that stuff to calculate the root zone water deficit in terms of inches, but also in terms of percentages. And those are the numbers that are reported to the users. And you can see here basically, you know, how this changes over a period of time. As you get rain or irrigation, the deficit increases or then decreases and so on, and the corresponding percentages. It's increasing frequency. Okay, so these are the screens that the user sees most frequently. We have designed the app so that the user really doesn't have to interact with it on a daily basis unless there's a lot of stuff going on in the field. So we push notifications to the user. So when it's approaching that 50% soil water deficit or has exceeded that 50% soil water deficit, we push a notification to the user. They see it on their home screen. Then they can take action. So then they can initiate the app. You know, they can open it up and they can see what's going on. So this middle screen is sort of the main page they would see once they start the app. And this screen corresponds to that deficit there. So basically, you see here the field name, the planting date, the soil type, the default irrigation rate, and here is sort of where the root zone deficit data are reported. We have it graphically in this little bar. I'm not sure you can see the color changes there, but down here from 100% to 65%, it should be darker blue, and that corresponds to that 65% deficit. The user acted upon this recommendation and added half an inch of irrigation. So you can see that here. And then the difference between the 65% and the 35% deficit is that half inch of irrigation water that the user applied. So you can see this little symbol that shows, yes, you irrigated. Here's now your new deficit after irrigation. And so the user can have this information and proceed. It also presents to the user amount of rain observed from the weather stations. And this is editable. I'll show you that as well. Finally, at the bottom of the screen here, you can see that we have a growing degree day calculator that shows the phenology of the plant. And this is important because our KCs are changing based on phenology. So we want the user to be aware of this and sort of track what's going on in the field and make sure that the app is really doing what's occurring in the field. And we've had really good luck so far over the past couple of years in really using in the app accurately tracking what's going on in the fields with this growing degree data calculator. Finally, here on the right-hand side is sort of an equivalent screen to the middle screenshot, but here it reports the deficit after rain. And you can see there's a little rain cloud, and it reports that there was a quarter of an inch of rain observed at the weather station closest to the field. Also, these little dots here, I keep losing the mouse, these little dots here indicate that the user can go back and look at the nine previous days of data, so they can scroll back 9 days and see what's going on. This is the screen that allows the user to adjust the different parameters. So for example, if the user decided not to apply half an inch, which was the default, but applied 1.2 inches, they can go in here and plus minus it very easily and adjust all kinds of things. Here's also a notification that the phenological stage is growing, so that gets pushed to the user as well. So they can be aware that something's going on in the field that they should check. So here on the right-hand side are some metrics about the app. We released it to the public April of 2014. At the end of the growing season, we had 71 different users who had downloaded the app, and they had registered 237 fields. And these are fields in which they scheduled at least two irrigation events. So in our database, we can see how many irrigation events. So these are actually real users who at least tried the app in one way or another. We had more users that downloaded the app and registered a field but never did anything during the growing season. So there was perhaps just the curious people that thought this was interesting but didn't use it. We have a pretty thorough tutorial associated with the website that explains every screen, every option. This was not used very much because I got very many emails from people that were trying to use this at the beginning of the growing season asking me basic questions about how to use the app, so I know the tutorial didn't get used very much, but it's there. Okay, so with the remaining time, I'd like to show you some data about how this performed. Last year at this meeting, I gave you the data from some trials we had done before the release of the app. And these are summarized in the top bullet point. This was done at the Stripling Irrigation Park, and remember, 2013 in southern Georgia was a pretty wet year in July and August. We compared our app scheduling to a number of other techniques, including the University of Georgia Extension checkbook method, some sensor scheduling techniques, Irrigator Pro, which is a USDA scheduling tool, and so on. And in that particular year, our app resulted in the highest yields and 75% less water than the checkbook method, about the same amount of water as the sensor scheduling tool. So it performed pretty well in that type of environment. In 2014, we evaluated with plot studies at two different locations. This was done, again, at the Stripling Irrigation Park and in Tifton, where I'm located. July and August were drier this year, and we had approximately the same yields as the checkbook method, but used about 40% less water. And I want to show you the actual data here. You can see we had two types of tillage systems, conservation and conventional. This is at the Tifton campus, we only had conventional tillage. This is the checkbook method yield, and this is the cotton app yield, so essentially the same, no statistical difference. This is the difference in water use, so about 40% less water use. Down here, you can see how much rainfall we received during the growing season. At the Stripling Irrigation Park, we actually tried to compare the app using two different approaches, the regular cotton app and the cotton app using primed acclimation, which is to withhold irrigation water from the crop, essentially stressing it some during the first 60 days of growth. And we had a lot of variability between replicates of the same treatment at the Stripling Irrigation Park this year, which was a little bit confounding. But you can see that results for the checkbook and the cotton app was slightly lower, but they're comparable. There were no statistical differences because of the high variability. But the primed acclimation was just really amazing. The results there were really amazing. So withholding that water early in the growing season seems to have an effect, even though the difference in the amount of water applied between the two versions of the app were very, very, very small. And I want to show you some graphs that sort of illustrate why we have the water savings and how these different scheduling techniques, what they do to soil moisture. So what I have here is soil water tension. So wet conditions are at the bottom, dry conditions are at the top, and so soil water tension reported in kilopascals. On the left side, you see the app soil moisture condition for conservation tillage, and for, excuse me, conventional tillage and conservation tillage. And on the right, you see the checkbook method. You can see here the profile is much wetter than on the other side. So that's where we get the water savings. But take a look at what's going on with the primed acclimation. The whole profile, regardless of tillage system, is much, much drier. And so I don't know if it's because the plants were bigger and extracting more water, but we had much higher yields in a soil profile that looked much drier. So still trying to figure out the physiological explanation of that. Some of the next steps is we're going to continue improving the app. We have a survey out now to see what the users think, and so we can make some improvements. We're going to continue testing it, of course. But one of the biggest things we want to do is we want to expand the footprint to a national basis. So now we're looking at using national grid-based data to do the meteorological calculations instead of relying on weather stations. And we think that's going to be a way for this app to be applied all across the Cotton Belt, one way or the other, before it's all over with. And I think I'm completely out of time. I don't know, can I take one question?
Yeah, we probably can, because the guys need to once again change the computer around. So if there's a question or two, we probably can do that.
Yeah, I noticed your the application essentially tells you on the current day what sort of status, what sort of depth status that the crop is in. Would it be more
So the question, so that you can hear it in the back, was, would it be more useful if the app provided notifications to the user earlier in the deficit cycle so that the user, the farmer, could prepare the irrigation equipment and so on?